Come in. Come into this circle of compassion and care. Bring your worry and wounds and your longings and your hope. With word and song, we rekindle the connection that soothes our tender hearts. With stillness and space to pause, we restore our strength for the work that must be done. The work of love, the work of waiting, the work of repair, the work of remembering we are not alone. Let us begin. The words of the Reverend Scott Taylor. Good morning, and welcome to First Unitarian Church. I'm Angela Herrera, the senior minister here. I'm joined this morning by Associate Minister Bob LaValle and our music director, Susan Peck, and volunteer lay leader, Casey Spivey. Behind the scenes, Dan Small is working as our volunteer DJ this morning, keeping the service moving along. And I want to give a special thanks, as always, to our all-volunteer tech team, Arnie Gullerud and Bill Miller, Chris Paul, Vance Bass, and Michaela Renz Whitmore. Welcome, whoever you are, wherever you are, and whether this is your first time or your thousandth time joining us at First Unitarian on a Sunday morning, we're glad you are here today. It's so good to be together. As we begin, Casey will share a couple of announcements.
Good morning. Are you new to our community in some way? Maybe you've joined the church recently, are planning to join, or you are just starting to check us out during our online services. We found one of the best ways to feel truly connected to our community is to join a small discussion group. And we have a group for you. There's a new to First U monthly online conversation. You'll have opportunity to explore any topic, including our congregation, the seven principles, the six sources, or anything that comes up. Again, this is not a class, but a discussion group about all things UU, facilitated by Reverend Nancy Bowen and Chuck Blocker, who is new to First U himself. Drop in and get to know other UUs. No need to sign up or make a long commitment. We meet once a month on the fourth Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can find more information on our new member Facebook page. The link is in the chat. Secondly, an online memorial service for beloved congregant Alicia Hawkins will be held on Saturday, July 25th at 3 p.m. Details including login information were emailed in last week's e-broadsheet. They will be in this week's e-broadsheet as well. Or you can contact the church office for information. All are welcome to join in this celebration of Alicia's life. And now Susan will lead us in the lighting of chalices.
Good morning. If you have a candle or a chalice handy, please join me now as I light the chalice from our sanctuary with these words by Reverend Christine Robinson, our minister emerita. We gather this hour as people of faith, with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, in celebration of the life we share together.
together.
Good morning. Will you join me in speaking the children's affirmation, and then we're going to sing a song together. So our children's affirmation goes like this. We are Unitarian Universalists. We are a people of faith with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands. So I get to have a little musical time for all ages today. I'd like to sing a song that we used to do in the family sing before services. I'm going to put the words over here in the chat box. This is a song by Sarah Pertle, and I'm going to stand up because I'm going to move around a little bit for this one. So this one is about connecting our bodies with the earth, all right? So I'm going to sing it through twice at least, maybe three times. We're going to start like this. My head is in the sky, sky, sky. My feet are on the ground, ground, ground. And what about my blood? It's from the sea. And what about my bones like the mountains be? And my hands, oh my hands, I believe with my hands I can hold this land. My two hands hold the earth. My two hands hold the earth. Try it again. My head is in the sky, sky, sky. My feet are on the ground, ground, ground. And what about my blood? It's from the sea. And what about my bones like the mountains be? And my hands, oh my hands, I believe with my hands I can hold this land. My two hands hold the earth. My two hands hold the earth. Thank you so much for singing with me.
Always so delightful. Today's meditation will be a visualization, imagining a trip through the desert. Find a comfortable seat, maybe shift your weight, let your body be soft. And if you're comfortable with it, close your eyes. Picture yourself journeying through the desert. See the trail that you're walking or rolling on. Smell the air. Feel the sun on your clothing. Feel yourself growing warm. Feel your rhythm on the path. As you grow hotter, you stop and take out a bottle of water. The water is cool and sweet. Drink the water and be cooled. You continue through the desert. It's hot, but you can see trees up ahead. Maybe it's an oasis, maybe it's a bosque. You approach the trees and you find yourself in the shade. As your eyes adjust, you see new details. Flowers, vines, shrubs. You grow cooler and you notice the sweet smell of plants. And the fertile soil. Smell the perfume of nature and be calm. You continue on your trail through the woods. The path ends and you realize you're at water. It might be a river, it might be a creek, it might be a pond. There's a place to sit. That might be a log or a stone. It could be anything. You sit and it's so comfortable to be there, to be still. As you sit, you realize that after the silence of the desert, there is sound. Birds chirp and cry. Insects buzz and rattle. the music of nature surrounds you. Listen to the creatures and be happy. We'll now sit in meditation for 2 minutes.
Our tender joys and precious concerns weave through our daily lives. Amidst this community, in the sharing of these, our gratitude is enriched and our burdens are lessened. When the video begins, please share your joys and concerns in the chat bar that we may hold them together. If you're not able to write in the chat bar, we still wish to know what's on your heart. Send an email to caring@uuabq.org and let us know how you are. Take now this moment to share first your joys, followed by your concerns.
Hand who's holding the hand of a mother. She's holding the hand of a child's hand who's holding the hand of another. He's holding the hand of a sister's hand. She's holding my hand. We are a circle. Thank you. big dream? Is it worthy of sacrifice? Is it worthy to give my life for this love, this huge love? I'm risking everything. I'm ready to change this dance, this wild dance. I'm riding on a circle of hands for this song, this plain old song. I'm willing to go on. Holding the hand of a brother's hand who's holding the hand of a mother. She's holding the hand of a child's hand who's holding the hand of another. He's holding the hand of a sister's hand. She's holding my hand. We are a circle of hands. Our lives unfold.
We are our own cloud of witnesses, journeying with each other and seeing each other's struggles and joys. We see beautiful things like rain and negative COVID tests and continued health, birds, hummingbirds, and three sisters growing in the garden and a dance party impromptu at a reception. Safely distanced, of course. And we see so many things that are hard. We remember with joy and appreciation and deep sadness the passing of John Lewis and C.T. Vivian, leaders of the civil rights movement back in the 60s and on right through today. We think of Sasha Bush looking for a job and Susan Green as she struggles with divorce and money issues, Nico Fearnside returning to high school, David Wilson's mother, and Graham and Nicola and their relative Miriam, and Chris Burns, friend with cancer, And we worry about this country as a whole, people who won't wear masks, secret police, and undisciplined, unreliable, dishonest leadership. All these heavy things, these joyful things, we lift up to the powers of celebration and renewal and healing that are known by many names. Our prayer today draws from the words of Reverend Anna Levy Lyons, who serves our sister congregation in Brooklyn. We pray to be free of the idols of our life that lead us away from the holy. May we be free of the painful voices of our past, both personal and as a society. May we be free from the poverty inflicted by an unjust society. May we be free from the concept of the other, and may we be free from loneliness. May we be free from all that enslaves us, and may we someday come through our struggles to a new life of love and hope on the other side. And may we all be held in the heart of love. Amen, and blessed be. Peace be with you.
This is an excerpt from The Fountain by Denise Levertov, who says, don't say there is no water to solace the dryness at our hearts. Don't say there is no water to solace the dryness at our hearts. I have seen the fountain springing out of the rock, one you drinking there, and I too before your eyes found footholds, climbed to drink the cool water. Don't say there is no water to solace the dryness at our hearts. Don't say there is no water to solace the dryness at our hearts.
Our reading is Desert Prayer by Jan Richardson. I am not asking you to take this wilderness from me, to remove this place of starkness where I come to know the wildness within me, where I learn to call the names of the ravenous beasts that pace inside me, to finger the brambles that snake through my veins, to taste the thirst that tugs at my tongue. But send me tough angels, sweet wine, strong bread, just enough. That was Desert Prayer by Jan Richardson.
This is still hard. Can we just start there in this sermon? This is still hard. It's been 4 months since the pandemic changed all of our lives. We know how many weeks are behind us, but we don't know how many weeks are ahead of us. We're living in a lot of uncertainty. If you are depressed, it's okay. If you are anxious, it's okay. If you feel self-pity and then guilt because you know it could be worse, it's okay. If you feel panic or dread, it's okay. If you just don't feel okay, it's okay. If your life has not stopped for this pandemic, but has marched on through health challenges or grief or other things that preceded or supersede this pandemic, it's okay. Whatever's going on for you right now, it's all right. You can bring it here to church. And whatever your other days have been like, if this is a spiritually centered day for you, if you are doing okay right now, then thank you for being one of the people who can keep the faith in our congregation today. That's one of the gifts of being in spiritual community. It means that you alone do not always have to keep the faith that no feeling is final, the faith that this too shall pass, the faith that you are lovable, redeemable, and worthy, the faith that justice may take generations, but it is inevitable, the faith that we are held in a larger love. When you are in a spiritual community, the community can keep that faith when you can't. And you can just be where you need to be. So however you are today, it's okay, and it is good to be together. That's what I mean when I say those words at the start of these services. It is good to be a faith community together. One of the wonders of this time is that we are together in at least two places. One, on the internet, on Zoom. The other place, at least for most of us who are listening right now, is the desert here in New Mexico. When I was contemplating moving here from the East Coast just about a decade ago, I remember reading in this church's description of the area that the desert is a spiritual place for many people. And I had not spent very much time in the desert in my life. I grew up in a lush valley in Oregon, surrounded by vineyards and fields of hops and other crops and by rainforest. And I really didn't know anything else. In fact, when I drove east out of the valley in a moving truck on my way to Massachusetts at the age of 28, I was surprised, I was very surprised to discover that half of the state of Oregon is desert. And I suppose I had learned this in school at some point, but like most Oregonians, I didn't really know it, like know it. In Oregon, we identified with the valley and the forests, the rivers and the mountains. My only real experience with the desert had been a road trip to the Southwest when I was 15. We drove to visit a relative in Arizona who proudly told us that her well-manicured, predominantly white subdivision was built on ancient Indian burial grounds and gave it special healing powers. I may have been a small town kid, but I was a Unitarian Universalist kid, and I knew that idea was abhorrent. Sadly, apart from a vague awareness that the indigenous traditions it violated and fetishized still existed in their own right, for a long time, that subdivision was my only impression of spirituality in the Southwest. So when I read in this church's materials that the desert is a spiritual place for UUs too, I was really curious. I am so glad I've had the chance to experience the desert differently. In these past 17 weeks, more than ever before, I have found myself drawn into the wild areas of New Mexico, into the desert, into its healing powers that are not about being on top of anything, but are about humility and silence and awe. Now, if you are listening from somewhere that is not a desert, if you have joined us from Vermont or Illinois, I'm so glad you're here with us today. And this sermon is for you too, because you know, a sermon is never only about the thing that it's about, right? It's always about more. That's what makes it a sermon. So So today you are invited into the desert with us, right from wherever you are. Where I am, if I step outside, I can actually see a desert. Not the endless stretch of sand you might imagine based on cartoons, although New Mexico has some of that too. Here, the dry, high-altitude land includes a mountain range on one side of the city, rising up out of the earth to the east, the Sandias. And on the other side of the city, there's a vast mesa, a desert plateau that stretches out to the west. And between the mesa and the mountain is what feels like 180 degrees of sky. The sky is everywhere you look. And it changes colors, especially at sunset. When it does, it changes the color of other things too, like the mountains turn pink, the mesa turns blue. Throughout this state, there are forests and rivers, but they're not like the ones I grew up with. These are high altitude dry lands with red cliffs and rattlesnakes. The land is big, it's vast. The plants, even the mature trees, seem small in comparison to the ones I knew in the Pacific Northwest. This large scale of landscape and the relative smallness of living things is one of the reasons the desert holds so much spiritual power. The desert, how to put this? The desert does not think that you are special. The religions professor, Belden Lane, calls this a sacramental affront. A sacramental affront, like a holy insult to us. The desert is inattentive to human anxiety, and it's so much larger and more powerful than you are. To contemplate it is to experience awe. And to experience this is to remember that your concerns and your ego are small, they are also small in the face of the ultimate. The desert reveals your place in the order of things. What are the things among which you find your place? They are the praying mantis, the soft, spiky succulents, the flowering cacti, the songbirds, the coyotes, the deep-rooted cottonwoods, the shushing, flowing river. They are the afternoon storms. They are bats and the night, which cools like a cave, but one filled with stars. And the day with its pure, hot light. The desert says, you are part of this. The desert reveals your place not just in the order of things, but in time as well. There are traces left behind by ancient people, petroglyphs, and there are foundations of ancient structures. There are strata in the cliff faces, layers of color and texture from past ages. There are fossils from sea creatures and dinosaurs. And the story these fossils tell seems impossible. Ocean? Here? And in the desert, the bones of the more recently dead are also laid bare. No leaves cover them. The skull of a deer or a cow or a bird, they are the desert too. They were when they were living, and they are again now. Observer, you are temporary, these bones and strata and other signs say, but you are part of something larger and more mysterious. The desert. It's a place of fast cars going by outside my door. And the desert is a place of creation stories. It's a place of life being born like a spring, like an ear of corn, like the first awe-struck humans to stare at the sky and at each other. But also in the desert, life exists on the edge. It's a place of vulnerability and vastness. In this way, the desert teaches humility. And through humility, it offers healing from the torment of believing that we are separate and entitled to comfort, entitled to our routines, to wellness and entitled to a certain number of days or years. And it invites us to stop our grasping, like to let go of that continual grasping at this thing that is a mirage. That separation and entitlement, those are illusion. In releasing that, there's freedom. In freedom, there's laughter and compassion. There's just a different level of life. There's a strong tradition of desert spirituality in the ancient lineage that eventually led to this church. This is the part of our lineage that we share with Catholicism and Protestantism. In the stories and scriptures of the Abrahamic religions, the desert is a place of uncertainty. It's a testing place. It's synonymous with wilderness. It's a place where humans may experience a change of heart, a conversion, or a deepened faith. In the first few centuries after Jesus lived, monastics began to form communities in the desert, often in hard-to-reach places, requiring dangerous trips up ravines or along cliffs. Once there, visitors might look down to find a long view of the dry lands below. The monastery locations embodied distance and perspective. The arduous journey to reach them was like a physical representation of the spiritual journey into enlightenment or union with God. It's a journey that entails great risk to the self, our understanding of which may turn out to be, as I said, an illusion. We may find ourselves relinquishing the self, or at least what we thought we were. The desert mothers and fathers, as they are known, practiced a simple, austere spirituality. They lived disciplined lives meant to remove the ego from the center of one's being. The desert, with its indifference toward the monastics, was a teacher in relinquishing the ego. Away from other people, the monastics were also unable to feed that constant craving we all know well, the craving for approval, for praise, for mastery. In the desert, they were away from human-made worldly concerns, away from society, and away even from too many words. The emptiness of the desert elicits silence. It elicits awe. It leaves us without adequate language. Even the word emptiness is not really adequate. To say that the desert is empty is incorrect. The desert contains all of the things I listed before and more. So emptiness is an approximation. It's an almost description. What it gets at, though, is the scale of things relative to each other in the desert. The space is big. The things are small. Emptiness. And words are like that when it comes to the divine or the ultimate too. They do not accurately express it. When Anthony, the father of Egyptian monasticism, was asked how he could be a monk out in the wilderness, far away from holy books, he gestured toward the desert and he replied, "My book is the nature of created things. Whenever I want to read the word of God, it is always there before me." He was born in the year 251, and he died in the year 356. Nature, a spiritual teacher, is as old as humankind. But I don't think Anthony meant literal words when he said the desert contained the word of God. The vastness of the desert elicits silence. To attain union with God or the ultimate in the desert is a process of unknowing. Just as in Buddhism, attaining enlightenment requires silence, presence, and the emptying of self. And we're treading here now into mysticism, into experience of the ultimate that transcends words like God. So it's better than to speak of unity or oneness. We're treading even beyond concepts of theism and atheism. The desert invites that. Desert and mountain places are often associated with the limit experiences of people on the edge, people who've run out of language for speaking about God, Belden Lane writes. He says, only at the periphery of our lives, only at the periphery of our lives, where we and our understanding of God alike are undone, can we understand bewilderment as occasioning another way of knowing. maybe you speak of God and maybe you don't. Seems to be about 50-50 in this congregation, and I love that about us. But I think it's safe to say that 100% of us are experiencing some measure of bewilderment right now. We are small in the face of this pandemic, which moves on a global scale and yet touches individuals like sun on so many grains of sand. We have been decentered in our own lives, and we find ourselves at the periphery, hoping to wait it out and to have some more good living to do on the other side. Last Saturday, I awoke at 6 a.m. in Carson National Forest to the sound of a dozen crows flying back and forth over my tent, calling to each other like a flock of winged Homer Simpsons, their voices cracking repeatedly as they circled the campsite. As I told the pastoral care team this week, the source of all has birthed astonishing displays of awkwardness. We were talking about how to pray out loud. The secret is to just go for it. You're not going to do worse than the crows, and whatever you come up with will be fine. Words won't be adequate anyway. It's the space around the words that matters more. The silence in which you are present. I clambered out of my tent and looked up at the sky. The crows were gone, but the dryland mountains were there, and the aspens were watching over everything. And I still feel like laughing. I'm just glad to be a part of it. I'm glad you're a part of it with me. It is good to be together.
As we prepare to take up the offering, I want to remind you that our Change for the Future recipient for this quarter is still Oxford House, an organization that provides residential support to women in recovery. You can make an offering online by clicking on the link that we'll put in the chat box. And if you prefer, simply mail a check to the church. We will now take up the offering for the work of this church and the work of this church in the community.
Chorus records a song online. Voices sting out over time and space. Grandmas receive their cards and calls. A virus can't stop Mother's Day. Waiting in line at a coffee drive-thru. The car ahead of me paid my bill. I drop a meal on a sick friend's porch. Joy and compassion are with us still. Love at a distance is love no less. Carrying an email comes our fear. Kindness over the phone is kindness. Justice blooms in a thousand places. Hope awakens on saddened faces. All that we need is waiting here. A restaurant cooks for weary nurses, offering smiles and food for free. People are making masks for strangers. Landlords wait to collect their fees. From our houses we send donations. Write our senators, take a stand. Learn to work against racist violence. Find new ways to heal our land. Love at a distance is love no less. Carrying an email comes our fear. Yes, over the phone is kindness, justice blooms in a thousand places. Hope awakens on saddened faces. All this beauty in modest graces. All that we need is waiting here. All that we need is waiting here.
What is given from the heart is received with gratitude. Thank you so much for your gifts to Oxford House and your gifts to First Unitarian. If you'd like to join a small group after worship today, just stay in the meeting until the end of the postlude, and you'll have the option to join a breakout room and converse with other members of the congregation. And now, if you have your chalice handy, we extinguish these flames that carry the light of our faith in our hearts. Go in peace, my friends.
Showing up. Look at how far we've come. Everybody building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Well, somebody got an idea and then they go talking it. They show up to make it real and then we go building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Who knows where to go? Just keep on the winding path. Which road do you suppose is the path of love? Just keep on walking, writing, loving, fighting. Keep on working, praying, living, dying. The heart of the thing I'm trying to say is the beating pulse of every day. It's the song I sing. Prayer I pray, it'll lead my path all along the way that's amazing. Gratitude. Somebody might fall down and we go pick them up. We're holding the lost and found. Everybody building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Well, the road just might get long, but we keep walking on. The hold of a hand is strong. Everybody building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Who knows where to go? Just keep on the winding path. Which road do you suppose the path of love? Just keep on walking, writing, loving and fighting. Keep on working, praying, living and dying. The heart of the thing I'm trying to say is the beating pulse of every day. It's the song I sing, the prayer I pray. It'll lead my path all along the way that's been. This amazing gratitude. Ooh, ooh, oh. Ooh, ooh, oh. Look at all the work we've done. Everybody's showing up. How far we've
the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it.